Hello and welcome to the Conduit's new podcast series, Service Please. This series will be focusing on ethical and sustainable hospitality, engaging with a diverse range of industry experts and a variety of individuals across different sectors, disciplines, roles and levels. From supply chains to sourcing, waste management to well-being and welfare, what problems need tackling and what does the future of hospitality look like? I'm Rosie Fletcher, the editorial manager at The Conduit, a home for people passionate about positive impact. I'm thrilled that we have partnered with the brilliant Design Hotels on a five-part series spotlighting some amazing individuals who have created incredible places to stay around the world. For a quarter of a century, Design Hotels have been at the forefront of a movement in travel by curating a global collection of independent design-driven hotels that function as social hubs and spaces for purposeful experiences, connection, and curiosity. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Daniel, the founder of Chervo Mountain Resort in Zermatt. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Conduit podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to talk to you today. Why don't we go back to the beginning of Servo and your journey to get there, how you came up with the concept and what it's been like since then?
Well, thank you for being here as well, and lovely to talk to you. Well, we opened 2009 with the first little Chervo. At the time, we only had 16 rooms. Chervo means deer in Italian, as we're just next door at the Italian border. We named it that way, and we were had quite an influence with the hunting team at the beginning. We all have had, of course, it was very contemporary, it was very alpine, it was very designy, but we also had this hunting themes within it. From there on, the journey went, over the years, we thought the hunter, the huntsman has a little evolution. So he went more and more from huntsman to gatherer, to nomad, to explorer, and that's how also the whole appearance of the hotel changed, or we'd rather say more, it's like an evolution of the whole concept.
Amazing. And tell me about how your own personal philosophy and values have fed into the hotel that you've created.
Well, I think that had a big impact, of course, also to the whole concept. And you, on my personal side, I thought it's quite important to have a sustainable approach within the whole concept. But also, I rather talk these days about a mindful approach, because sustainability is so much used in many different variations, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a less appropriate way. I want to try to be sustainable, and I think that's a big word, being sustainable. But I think when it comes to mindfulness, or also say with being somehow conscious what you do, I think that's very important. And also I think that's nice to reflect within the whole concept of the hotel.
And when you say mindfulness, what does that mean to you? Because I agree that there are so many places now that use the word sustainability in their marketing and in their approach, but how does mindfulness differ from that to you? What makes that different?
Well, maybe at the end of the day, it's just for us, maybe we are conscious that a luxury hotel can't be 100% sustainable, mm-hmm. but we can do as much as we can to do the best as we can, and also to give the guests an amazing experience, an amazing day where they also can really recharge their batteries, get full of energy. And I think that's also part of being sustainable. If you host people, and I think that's the beauty of being a hotel, or having a hotel, being a hotelier, you can host people from all over the world and give them a great place to be, enjoy themselves, or, you know, having a good time on the mountain skiing, but also in our mountain mushroom spa where they can meditate, they can have yoga. Just give them a great experience. That's one side. And I think on the other side, you also have the staff, which is, again, it's a lot of energy, a lot of great people from all over the world working here. And also for them, creating a space where they can follow their dreams of working in that industry, being a chef, being a waiter, being charging the wine. But even a housekeeper, that it's an amazing job what they can do, making a room ready and pretty for the guests. And I think if you combine that whole team together, I think that's a beautiful exchange. And that's what maybe I put more and more into the mindfulness instead of talking about the sustainability. But of course, we're trying also to be part of that whole big theme, being sustainable. And I think one side is, of course, the environmental impact, and the other side, of course, it's also for us social impact. Maybe that's more where I've talked about the mindfulness, also definitely when it comes to self, but maybe also, or maybe for sure also when it comes to the community and the local town.
Absolutely. And I think that that's an amazing approach, really, because it all ends up linking to each other, right? You know, if you're creating this incredible experience for your guests, that comes from looking after your staff as well as possible and empowering them to have that attention to detail and feel like they're part of a greater thing. And in terms of how you involve the local community, how important is that? What methods do you use to bring them into your business?
I think it's very important as a hotel or also a place where we have a lot of restaurants and upper ski, that really the local community is part of that whole experience. I think sometimes hotels around are quite sophisticated. They almost close it to public. That could be a nice approach. I mean, nothing against that. But we've decided from the beginning, we sort of want to be like a melting pot where you really have people from all over the world, but also the locals, the ski instructors, the seasonal staff from other hotels. And I think they all gather somehow in our upper ski or in one of our restaurants. And I think that gives just a great ambiance and exchange of people. And I think that's the beauty, just when people from all over the world meet and talk. And I think that's also where we can share thoughts and maybe also cultures. And I think a hotel can be a great host for things like that. That's maybe one thing. And then the other thing is definitely we also try as much as we can contribute when there are local activities, whether we send staff to help or to support, or we interact with them and join different things what they do. And I think that's been crucial when you live in a small mountain town like Zermatt, that you're really part of that whole community and not just being involved. We stand alone there. At the end of the day, we're all on the same page.
Absolutely. And it's so important to engage, like you say, all different people in the concept and connection and sort of collaboration, and you never know what comes from bringing all those people together in one space. So I think that's something that we can definitely agree on, especially from the perspective of the Conduit. And what about nature? Obviously, you are located in an incredibly beautiful spot. How does nature play into your approach in running the hotel?
It's definitely a big impact on us. I mean, as you mentioned already, we are literally at the end or at the outskirts of the village, basically already in the forest, overlooking the town. So it is, I mean, from the beginning when we planned, designed the property, we said we don't want to build a big hotel complex. We'd rather build small lodges, chalets on that mountain that fit better in the environment, like a little hamlet almost. So that also that reflects a bit the nature around. And definitely, also when it comes to resources, supply chain, as much as we can, we try to have the local resources or close by. Luckily, a lot of farmers down in the valley that produce meat or cheese, of course, and also wine and vegetables and whatever. So we have quite a decent amount of resources we get quite locally. So that's also kind of reflection of the nature around. And one of our restaurants, for example, we called it Madre Nostra, which is Italian for our mother. And that also should reflect a bit the Mother Earth, that the resources really come from Mother Earth, not just from somewhere.
Absolutely. So in terms of your approach to the food that you serve, is it all sort of locally sourced? Do you have a particular policy in place of what you do and don't use? What are your menu creation like? How do you approach that?
We try to, as much as we can, work locally. Of course, given the fact that we are 1 mile high, not everything is possible. So we are still in the Alps. But we try to be at as much as we can, at least of 150 kilometers around us. So that's kind of a chart that we signed for us. So that means, okay, there's some resources coming from Northern Italy, of course, also from other parts from Switzerland. That's what we try as much as we can, and other products, and plus on top, where it makes sense, we we buy organic food, sustainable produced food. That's very crucial for us too. And of course, also where it makes sense, we use labels like fair trade, but you know, it doesn't make always sense. For example, coffee, coffee obviously doesn't grow in Switzerland, but we have a roast.
You surprised me, Daniel. You mean you don't have a coffee plantation at the end of your garden?
That would be fun. That would be awesome. But yeah, for example, we worked there with a gentleman. He's half Swiss, he's half Ethiopian. And he's roasting the coffee in Switzerland. And the plantation is in Ethiopia. So he goes there on his own. Basically his family or his town where he used to come from. And those are things we believe in. They're as much sustainable as they can be. And they don't need a certain label. It just works how it goes. And then most of the profit stays within that region where his family came from. And I think those are beautiful stories. I mean, those are the small things. But I think if you have many small things, maybe that also has an impact.
Absolutely. You know, the small things add up. And it is the small things that at the end of the day make the big difference. And if we don't act on those, then we don't act at all. What's been your biggest challenge in terms of taking this approach around being mindful about what you're doing, you know, trying to be kind to the environment that you're situated in? What do you come across that provides the biggest obstacles?
Well, I think in the beginning was maybe also not all, but some of the stuff to bring in the line. But that's something that changed so quickly. Once you get on that journey, the stuff that Lee jumps on and things, it's amazing. And to really support the entire chair on that journey, which is very nice to see. And it goes even beyond, I think even these days, more and more staff chooses the chair because we are on that journey. And I think that's very beautiful to see that has a very positive impact also when it comes to find a team. That's one thing. And the second thing that was also challenging is definitely in the beginning, like the supply chain, finding the producer, or less the producer, but maybe more the delivery guys, the intermediate companies that makes the shipping. That was a bit difficult. Maybe also in our region, as they were not used to that at the beginning, and then really also we need that. And I think more and more they jumped on that too, which just really helped a lot. I still think they could make a step up when it comes to packaging. I think there's still a lot of waste going on. I think that's sometimes funny or even sad to see how things, some goods are just packed for no reason in plastic or whatever. So they're still working on with them. But it's, again, I think I see it as a journey. We do as much as we can. We can't be dogmatic as a hotel. We just try to be as good as we can. And I think that's a nice thing. And I think that's every year an evolution, we're getting better and better. And that's also a nice challenge for the team to see where we can go and take it next.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the more people that you bring on that journey with you as well, the more influence and impact you can have elsewhere. Have you seen the approach of the businesses around you change as you have gone on this journey yourself? Have you felt that has had an influence on other people?
I think so. I mean, it hasn't had an influence, at least in the region, that people more and more also choose, or people also businesses, to go more towards that direction, definitely. And that's a nice thing to see.
Completely. And I know that you recently renovated the hotel. How did you go about doing that? I know that there will have been challenges along the way, but what was your main priority when you went about those renovations, and how can you create a more sort of sustainable hotel from starting your building?
Well, we had, one thing I said in the beginning was sort of the evolution from the huntsman to the gatherer, the explorer, the nomad, and we all packed it in the philosophy or the claim beyond exploring. So we also had a little evolution of the design on the existing rooms. We added also some new rooms the major impact definitely went on sustainability. We had in a extension or a change slash extension of the heating system and also the warm water system. And now we having a decent sized properties, like with 9 different buildings, chalets, houses, and a spa. We are literally almost at 100%. The energy comes from the ground we have for the heating and the warm water. So we have this geothermal, which has probably is around 50% part of the energy. And then we use some solar that has a minor impact, but it's still nice that to have this addition. And the one is very interesting. We also collect all used water. So if somebody showers, we collect that water. Of course, we're not going to reuse the water, but at least we're going to take out again the energy. So all water that has been used somewhere in the hotel, from pool, from shower, whatever, it comes to a big tank, and that heat is taken out again. So that already has been heated once, and we take out again the heat, and that heat that gives us about 45% of the energy we need for warm water and the heating. And I think that's pretty fun.
Wow, that's awesome. So describe this a bit more to me. So the water that has been wasted goes back into a tank, and that heat is repurposed?
Yes, it basically with the temperature of that water, the difference of the temperature you have, that creates energy, and that's like that goes back into the circle of the whole heating system. Of course, there's a heat pump that also works with the 42 holes geothermal we digged, and the solar panels we have in one building, and that all goes back into that circle. And of course, then the water goes into normal facilities to clean, yeah, from the town. But we even use, which is also nice, even in one of our restaurants, the bazaar, we have fireplaces. And with wood, that's more aesthetic because it looks nice. But above those fireplaces, like sort of a water tank, and the fire heats that water, and that one goes also into the circle. So as much as we can, all those, even the kitchen machines, they also, their heat that they produce also heat, also that goes into the system. I think now we are literally 100% fossil free. We have, in worst case, we have still some gas with a gas burner, just in case sometimes in the winter when the peak is very high, the hotel is full. We have to balance out that peak, but that's less than 4% currently. And there we're trying maybe in the future to go on biogas, like gas from compost. But that's technically is not there yet, so we have to be patient.
It's not a quick journey, but you have to start somewhere, and it sounds like, you know, doing an amazing job. I'm interested to know that what is the experience of a guest? Tell me a bit more about how I would experience Trevor if I was to come and stay with you. Do you take your guests on and sort of educational experience as to what you're doing, or is it a bit more behind the scenes?
No, we do that a bit more behind the scene. Of course, if a guest is a bit conscious about what's going on, and you know, then probably he sees it. Of course, we have some explanation on the website. We'd rather keep that low key because we believe the guest just should have a great experience as a guest having a beautiful vacation, and it's us to bother with that whole sustainability or things that goes in the back. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's just essential that these days businesses just do as much as they can and have to do. I mean, yeah. I think it's not even a plus or a benefit. For me, it's more a basic you have to do. And I think that should be basic in all the luxury industry. Of course, probably not there yet. But of course, when guests are want to talk about that, we're always there, but we'd rather keep that a bit on the back because guests should focus on his or on his vacation and enjoy that.
Yeah, and I love the fact that it's almost kind of full circle in a way, because sustainability, like you say, it's such a broad word, and traveling and going to hotels is about the experience. And I like the fact that you are actually concentrating more on the sort of mindful well-being side of things. So actually there's a lot to be said in these times of creating something that brings a bit of joy and enhances our life. So it's crucial to have those elements in place and create those moments of joy. Do you have any particular favorite parts of the hotel experience that you've created that you could share with me?
Well, I definitely think our mountain ashram spa is a real gem for beauty. It's not the traditional spa. I mean, of course, there's sauna, there's a steam room, but there's one room that I think it's amazing. It's the ritual room. It's quite a nice size, has a high ceiling, not a flat ceiling. It's more like, it looks a bit like crystals coming down, like from the shape, not from the color. And that gives it a great acoustic. And we do concerts there. We do, but also, of course, the yoga classes take place there, meditation. And I think that really is like a nice room. It's just peaceful. Mm-hmm. You sit there and it has a good energy. And I think the more people enjoy it there, the energy gets even better if you believe in such things like that. But I think it has really a good energy. That's a nice room. And also outside the spa, we have two yurts. They're made in Switzerland with wool, with sheep wool. So they're all natural materials. And if you sit in there and just drink a tea, we call them tea yurts. So the idea behind is if you're wearing the sauna or wearing the meditation or you're wearing the in the pool, you can sit there, read a book, or just sit there and drink tea. And sometimes we do also a little meditation or massage, private massages in there. But those are, if you sit there, you hear nothing because they're round, they're very cozy. They have carpets on the floor, little cushions to sit on, to hang on. And I think that's fun. And it's so simple at the end of the day. You know, it's nothing fancy, nothing bling bling. But it's sometimes it's the beauty, it's in the simplest, and you just create a space where you can be peaceful and relax.
Oh, it sounds amazing. A private massage overlooking the mountains in one of your tea yurts is a very, very welcome thought right now. In terms of a more broad question, what in your experience and in your view do you see as the biggest challenge or hurdle for hotels at the moment in being more mindful about their approach to the ways that they work?
Well, I think generally a lot of hotels are facing the challenge of finding qualified and motivated staff. I think that has a big change the last couple of years. Probably since the pandemic, a lot of people left the industry, which maybe also should reflect why they did that. I mean, maybe it is a tough industry. I mean, it can be in high season and peak season. It can be quite intense, but I still believe it. To create a nice environment to work and give some benefits and, you know, help really create also space for them or give them options to. I mean, what we do, for example, they have every week they can also join meditation and yoga class twice a month. The spa is open to the staff, just give you small ideas. And I think that's definitely a challenge that, first of all, that they're facing that a lot of our industry is facing that challenge to find the staff. And I think they also, a lot of us are faced with just the costs that are rising in general. I mean, there is inflation going on, energy prices are rising, gas prices are rising. And I think that's a challenge. And I think it's hard to do, to maybe go more towards mindfulness, go more towards sustainability, even go maybe more towards being a better employee if you're facing challenges in the back of the house, especially in the cost side, and that's not easy.
No, definitely.
The good thing is if you are more on a sustainable path, sometimes you also reduce your cost for energy. I mean, that's of course helps them facing that almost little crisis. I mean, we're facing, Switzerland is still okay, but I know some countries in Europe, they really have a challenge with the energy costs, and it's very hard, and that's not easy for them. I think on business side, but also on individual side.
Absolutely. It's definitely not an easy environment at the moment. What does the future hold for you and for Chavo? What are the plans?
Well, we try to go on that journey to even be more mindful or be more sustainability. It's never over, so we still can work on that and try to, you know, find even more better partners when it comes to supply chain, or also definitely the energy management. I think there's always, even when you're on a good path, I mean, there's always space to improve. Definitely in the waste side, I think there's a big part there. I mean, maybe even one day go towards zero waste, that will be beautiful in a couple of years. But that's as I mentioned before, with the supply chain, not so easy, but something we definitely have to aim for. So I think those are the things we have to go. I think the concept is beautiful. We really try to stay on with that, beyond exploring for the next few years, because I think it really fits well into what we want to do. Beyond Exploring stands for the beauty of Zermatt, to explore the mountain, the skiing, the biking, but also it's an amazing place to explore yourself. Therefore, we have the mountain ashram. And our next bigger project is definitely more into the staff accommodation. Prices are rising also there in Zermatt. It's very difficult for staff to find a patient. And we try to create more like a community, sort of a campus where staff can live, but also other people with restaurant, the swimming pool, with little zero waste shop. So that's the next project, also to have covered inside of the staff much better when it comes to the space where they can live, because I think that contributes and also into the travel.
Amazing. I love that. It's that sounds super exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing how it develops. Daniel, we finish here with a bit of a quick fire round. Are you up for answering a few quick questions with super quick answers?
I try.
Okay. What does hospitality mean to you?
It's creating a space where people from all over the world can meet and have a good time.
What would be your desert island dish?
Probably raclette. I can't live without cheese.
It's a fair answer. Fair answer. What is your, I think I know the answer to this one, but what's your favorite season?
Fall. I love fall. I love skiing, of course, so now it's the time that comes to, but I love the fall, the colors, the trees, crisp air, that's beautiful.
If you have to choose a favorite chocolate bar or sweet, what would it be?
I like the Lindt as a chocolate bar that is 100% cacao.
Ooh.
And I love it. It's very strong and intense, but I like that.
Strong and intense, I like it. What is your favorite restaurant in the world?
So many good ones.
You can pick up to three.
There's one in San Francisco, Cotonia, I really like, which is an Italian. It's really easy, nothing too fancy. That's very good. There was one outside Sebastian. Can't remember the name, but it was like 20 minutes outside San Sebastian. It was the best fish I ever had. It was amazing. So they had it on the plancher, just in the grill, very low key, very easy, but that was beautiful.
And finally, could you give me three words to describe what you think the future of hospitality holds?
I definitely think it goes more and more into a mindful, sustainable journey. That it's maybe not, as I said before, maybe not upfront, it's really crucial. And I think it goes even more into creating spaces where really people just can be, maybe, you know, having a really memorable time, and that you more and more create, not only focus on design, maybe really holistic approach of more like a way of living. It's not especially a hotel or a hospitality, it's more a form of living. And that you combine a lot of different branches into that. And maybe you have, you know, you have designers, you have shops, you have music, you have flavor, you have fragrance, that it's more like a whole concept and philosophy.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Daniel. It's been so lovely to learn more about what you've been doing and the amazing work and the brilliant hotel, and I'll have to come visit sometime.
That would be lovely. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
You too. Thanks, Daniel.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Please, the ethical hospitality podcast from The Conduit. Please do subscribe. This podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For more information about Design Hotels and Chervo Mountain Resort, please visit their website. And for more information about The Conduit and our community of changemakers, please visit theconduit.com.